Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
I just love times like that, and I love times like that. I hate that we're on a timeline, that we have to press on, but I also love that we get to press on towards God's Word right now. So right away, we're not going to waste any time. I want you to take your Bible and go with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side would love to put a copy of God's Word into your hands today. And if you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. We'd love you to take it home and read it and have your life changed by the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, some of you are saying, Ephesians, I thought we were in Exodus. And we are walking through the book of Exodus and chapter by chapter. And I don't know about you, but it's been life-giving for me. It's been a joy. I've been so blessed walking through the book of Exodus. And I've heard so many things from so many of you as well in terms of how God's Word is being applied to your heart and your life in the book of Exodus. But we're coming to Ephesians today because this morning, this is what's been heavy on my heart. And there comes a time in the life of a growing and vibrant church where you have to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to stop what you're doing and just consider what God wants to say in a specific way. And so today we're going to Ephesians chapter 6. And this morning's message is going to be a message that I pray will gather us together again as a church. Though that if you're a little bit scattered today, if you've been going through a hard time today, if you've been sick, like so many people in our church have been sick these days, if you've been facing some uncertainties in your life and you just kind of feel scattered, like you don't know if you fit in, you don't know if you belong, and you're just kind of out there, today is one of those days where we look at God's Word to gather our church around the things that this church was built upon, and we're going to gather our church today to just be awakened again, to focus again on what really, really matters. And here's the message in a nutshell. We are in a spiritual war. We are in a spiritual battle. And if you're not careful, you can just walk through this Christian life and blow by blow and hit by hit. All of a sudden, you're just kind of wandering around and you're not sure what's going on. And you're not sure why you come to this church anyways. And as a church, what are we so passionate about anyways? And we want to just ground ourselves again. The title of this morning's message is this: A Time for prayer. I want you to know, loved ones, that this time in the life of our church, as always, but particularly in this season in the life of our church, it's a time for prayer. I want you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to start reading from verse 10 to give you the wider context, and we're going to begin to break down verse 18 together. Ephesians chapter 6, starting from verse 10, says this: Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, watch this. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. There's so much in this passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to be able to get to everything. We're going to focus on verse 18, but I want to let you know a couple of years ago, we went through this portion of Scripture, and we walked through this verse by verse. It was a message on spiritual warfare. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that as you're looking through these verses and thinking, gee, I'd like to hear more about this. We went through this verse by verse and line by line. You'll find it on our website, but for today, we want to break down verse 18. And we're going to be renewing our minds with this truth today. And I'm trusting the Lord to be renewing our minds that it is a time for prayer. That's our first point today. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. It is a time for warfare prayer. It is a time for warfare prayer. Verse 18, Paul says, praying at all times. Now, the reason I say that it's a time for warfare prayer is because firstly, the Apostle Paul makes it plain that it's always a time for prayer. That's why he says praying when? At all times. It's always a time for warfare prayer. But there's a second reason why I say it's a time for warfare prayer, and that's because there's a real sense that at this time in the life of our church, the spiritual battle feels particularly intense. Now, I talked to so many different people in our church and making it a real point for me to connect with as many people as possible to see what is happening in your life. And the consensus seems to be right now in this particular season in the life of our church, it is a particularly intense season of spiritual warfare. And there are points and seasons in the life of every growing church, as I said, where we need to stop and address this, because as I talk to people, I feel like people are feeling the spiritual battle, but they don't know that it's a spiritual battle. Not really aware what is going on. What do I need to do? How do I need to engage? This, loved ones, is one of those times in the life of our church where we need to stop and consider the Word of God. Namely, that we have a very real enemy. That we have a very real enemy that hates us. We have a very real enemy that hates our church. We have a very real enemy that hates every follower of Jesus Christ in this room. We have a very real enemy who hates every passionate follower of Jesus Christ in this room. We have a very real enemy who wants to distract and destroy and discourage everyone who has set their life upon Jesus Christ and to follow Him. And once again, loved ones, it's a time to tighten our grip on a precious theological and personal and applicable reality. We want to tighten our grip on this truth that it is a time for warfare prayer. Paul says, praying at all times. Now, before we dig a bit deeper here, it's important for us to understand what praying at all times does not mean. Now, it doesn't mean that we should be continually in a posture of formal prayer all the time. That would be impossible. Jesus was not perpetually in a posture of formal prayer all the time. The Apostle Paul was not consistently in a posture of formal prayer all the time. No one can do that. But what it does refer to is this. It refers to living in a continual, perpetual state of awareness and consciousness of our utter need for God in the midst of a very real, a spiritual battle, praying at all times. Now, C.H. Spurgeon describes the person who prays at all times this way. It's on the screen. He says, he's not always in the act of prayer, but he lives in the spirit of it. If his heart be in his work, he cannot eat or drink or take recreation or go to his bed or rise in the morning without evermore feeling a fervency of desire, a weight of anxiety, and a simplicity of dependence upon God. Thus, in one form or other, he continues in prayer. This is what it means to pray at all times. It's a communion with God that strengthens within us a weighty awareness, a clear perception of who we are and who God is in the midst of the raging spiritual battle all around us. And it brings us in step with the reality of the spiritual nature of everything all around us. It's not mystical, loved ones. It's immensely theological. That we are engaged in a spiritual battle, and the all-pervasive strategy that must empower all the armor that the Apostle Paul encourages us to put on, the all-pervasive strategy for the believer in this spiritual battle is this: praying at all times, being continually in a state of awareness of my need for God. And your need for God in this particular season of difficulty or hardship or even prosperity that you find yourself in. Now, one of the ways that we can really understand the magnitude of the exhortation to pray at all times is, again, to renew our minds with the context and the urgency of the surrounding verses in the Word of God. So I want you to notice, it's on the screen. I'm going to read it for you again from verse 10 to 13. I want you to look at the Word of God. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Think about this. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Now, the context gives us a vivid image of a spiritual battle. I've already said this to you, but I as I read through these verses, every word is so weighty. Every word matters so much, and the imagery matters for us. In the next verses, Paul lays out the very specific armor for the battle. And as I said, I wish I had time to go into it all, but go back and listen to the series when you get time on our website. But the context paints a clear picture for us that there's something very serious happening all around the Christian. There's something very serious happening in the Christian life, and particularly in the spiritual realm. That this life for the Christian, this life for the Christian is more than just a good latte and a fancy laptop or a large house or a fancy car or my comfort and my security or what do people think about me or what do people not think about me. This life is more than all of that. For the Christian, we are thrust into a spiritual battle. And it's a battle that is not between flesh and blood. It's not physical. You can't see it. You can't touch it. It's spiritual. And the very nature of the battle as spiritual is what causes so many of us to fall into a deep slumber, to be distracted, to be scattered. And so many in our church are in that time. They're in that moment of being scattered, and the Word of God is being applied to our hearts, loved ones. This is the context. When Paul says praying at all times, I want you to understand he's not placing a heavy, burdensome duty upon us. When Paul exhorts us to pray at all times, he's handing us the keys that will unlock the power and the strength and the direction and the wisdom that we all need for the battles that we are facing in our lives today. Now just stop for a moment and consider. What are the battles that you are facing today? What are the real battles that you are facing today? What's the discouragement that you're facing? What are the things that drive you to despair? What are the things that you're taking into your mind sometimes that distort the perception of what God really says about your situation? What are you wrestling with? What are you battling with? See, we need supernatural power and strength to be able to think clearly and engage in this spiritual battle. And the all-pervasive strategy is prayer. That's how we battle in this spiritual journey. Now, my dear friend Robbie Simons was interviewed a while ago on the subject of prayer, and I want to share with you what he shared. I found it so helpful. Listen to what he said. He said, if the church in our land was given a real significant dose of persecution, that would be the test of what lasts and what falls. I often ask myself the question, if persecution really came in, what would become instantly irrelevant? I'm convinced that over 90% of all the leadership books that have been written in our day would be instantly meaningless because they're dealing with such pragmatic things. When persecution arises, these things don't even matter anymore. If a large dose of persecution came in, what would we turn to? That's what we need to build our lives on. That's what young pastors would do in the midst of true persecution. They would pray. So if that's the case, then why isn't it the case now? The prayerless individual or the prayerless church, whether they mean to say it or not, says, I don't need you, God. And that would be hard for anyone to admit. But at the end of the day, if we're failing to pray in some form, we're communicating, God, we've got this on our own. If we believe in prayer, then why aren't we doing it? Such a good question. So why aren't we doing it? Now, I have a few thoughts from our text that I want to show you. What prevents us from praying at all times? I want to suggest a couple of things. Number one, a failure to understand this, that the Christian life is a war. This is what Ephesians 6:10 to 18 is all about. The question is, do we see it? Do we believe it? Do we live in light of it? I want you to see what John Piper wrote about this on the screen. He wrote this, we cannot know what prayer is for until we know that life is war. Life is war. Our weakness in prayer is owing largely to our neglect of this truth. Prayer is primarily a wartime walkie-talkie for the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. It is not surprising that prayer malfunctions when we try to make it, listen, a domestic intercom to call upstairs for more comforts in the den. God has given us prayer as a wartime walkie-talkie so that we can call headquarters for everything we need as the kingdom of Christ advances in the world. Just phenomenal to think about this. I asked you to consider what battles you're facing. Now let me ask you, how are you facing those battles? What are you doing? What are the things you are employing, the weapons you are employing? Is prayer one of them? Because prayer is a beautiful gift, as I love to say, that God has given us, a mighty weapon that God has given us to wield in times of the spiritual battle and where the battle is raging and intensifying. And I wonder how many people in this room are feeling scattered in some way. You're feeling like you're not grounded. You're feeling like the blows of this life have hit too many times. What John Piper is saying, in other words, is that the reason we don't pray with the urgency required is because we've often misunderstood our purpose in the world and the purpose of prayer in our lives. And the reason we're instructed to pray at all times is because prayer, as I've already said, is the all-pervasive strategy that empowers the armor of God in order to wage war in a very real spiritual battle that we are all engaged in. What prevents us from praying at all times? A failure to understand the Christian life is war. Secondly, I want you to write this down. What prevents us from praying at all times? Secondly, this, a failure to understand the enemy is powerful and scheming. The enemy is powerful and scheming. Verse 11 tells us this. Notice it. Put on the whole armor of God. Listen to this. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, one of the greatest schemes and tactics of the devil in our day is to try to convince us that he doesn't exist. One of the great schemes and strategies of the devil is to cause the church to fall asleep and not to consider the reality that he is there, he is scheming, and he has power. In other words, schemes in verse 11, it's also translated wiles. It's a reference to crafty planning with the deliberate intent to deceive. Loved ones, what we need to understand today as we seek to pray at all times and wield the mighty weapon of prayer, the all-pervasive strategy that must empower all the armor, what we need to understand today is that the devil is not some little cartoon character with horns sticking out of his head sitting on your shoulder. He's not some fictional character that's kind of cute when you look at him and kids dress up as him on Halloween. The devil is, the text tells us, powerful and scheming. That he always has an angle. He always has an opportune time. He always has an unexpected slant. He never plays fair. He always targets us where we are most weak. He is deceptive at the core. He is powerful and scheming. And I look at our church in this time and this season, and I know the Word of God tells us that the devil hates what God is building over the last 6 years. The devil hates that people are moving from death to life in this church over the past 6 years. The devil hates that people are overcoming addictions by the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God over the past 6 years. The devil hates that, and he hates you, and he's trying to distract us with schemes. And he's trying to discourage you from serving God with schemes. He's trying to convince you that your comfort is more important than serving one another with his schemes. He's trying to convince you that thing that person said about you, it's unforgivable. You cannot forgive that person. You cannot reconcile. That's his scheme. He wants you to be divided. He's powerful and he's scheming. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says that he disguises himself as an angel of light. 1 Peter 5:8 says that he's prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. John 8:44, Jesus says that he is the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning. There's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. The devil is not a fictional cartoon character. He is a real and formidable foe in the spiritual battle. I wonder how many people in our church have been subject to his lying schemes. You can't go back to that church anymore. You've sinned far too many times. What are they going to think about you? That's a scheme and a lie. This is a safe place for you, no matter what you've done or where you've been. He's trying to make you ignorant of his designs, Paul says. Did you know that the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian church that one of the enemy's designs is to cause us to be unforgiving towards one another? And Paul exhorts the Corinthians to forgive one another. Don't be bitter with one another, lest we be ignorant of his designs. He's trying to lie to you. You can't go back to God for forgiveness again. How many times is he going to take you back? He's a lying murderer, and he is real. And as I pick up the phone and text with so many people in this church, I find the enemy is scheming and dividing and distracting. You know, loved ones, my wife hasn't been in church for 3 weeks. You know why? One by one, each child sick, sick, sick. I'm not saying the devil made us sick. I'm not saying that at all. We live in a fallen world. People get sick. But how easily the devil can come and scheme and discourage us. Again? Again? We can't be together in church again as a family? This is discouraging. How much he can sneak in and slide in and distract us and discourage us. Get our eyes on something else. And so many of us are facing similar things. Oh, loved ones, praying at all times. Why do we fail to pray? Because we fail to understand the enemy is powerful and scheming. There's a third thing. What prevents us from praying at all times? The failure to understand that Christian life is war, that the enemy is powerful and scheming. Thirdly, this, we fail to understand that the power we need is in Christ through prayer. The power we need is in Christ through prayer. And I want you to remember how the entire section began. Notice it on the screen, verse 10. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I want you to look at that. Do you see the word in? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It's a small word, but it's a significant word because what it teaches us is this, that the source of the power we need in the Christian life is not in my ability to pray. The source of the power we need in the Christian life is not in my resolve to pray. The source of the power we need in the Christian life is, listen, it's in Christ. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And this is where the glorious doctrine of our union with Christ must become precious to us, that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. When Paul instructs us to be strong, he's really instructing us to lean hard on the Lord. When Paul is instructing us to stand firm, he's really instructing us to cling so closely to the Lord. In other words, all of the strength we need to fight the spiritual battle originates in Christ and manifests through prayer. That's why he summarizes the entire section and all of his exhortations to put on the armor of God with this. Praying at all times, because prayer is the all-pervasive strategy that empowers the believer because of the believer's standing in Christ. Because Christ is the source of power, and because we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we have all the power we need to wage war in this very real spiritual battle. We're renewing our minds with this truth this morning. It's a time for warfare prayer. Let me say it another way. It's not a time for playing games with God. It's not a time for setting your affections on things that don't matter in this world. It's not a time for wasting time. It's not a time for bitterness and resentment. It's not a time for bailing out on the body of Christ. It's not a time to consider my needs over everyone else's needs. It's a time for warfare prayer. It's a time to consider what God wants to do in me and through me. It's a time to consider what God will do in this church through my life being here. It's a time to consider what amazing thing God wants to do in this community and in this city. It's a time to consider that there's more to this Christian life than just me and my little bubble. There are thousands of people around us that are dying, that are hopeless. It's not a time for Christians to be self-centered. It's a time for prayer. It's a time for warfare prayer. With the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us would be made manifest through us and to each other and in this world that we live in. Oh, how I pray that the Lord, by His Spirit, through His Word, is renewing our minds right now. It's a time for warfare prayer. Are you ready? Will you respond? Do you believe it? There's something else I want you to see. Not only is it a time for warfare prayer, but this has become so precious to me. Write this down. It's a time for full dependence in prayer. It's a time for full dependence in prayer. Notice verse 18 again. He says, praying at all times, watch this now, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now, to pray in the Spirit means to pray with the help and the leadership and the guidance and the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. I love that the Apostle Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit. You need to be in step with the Holy Spirit. It means that we are to pray in total dependence upon God, because left to ourselves, we simply don't know how to pray or what to pray for. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you can feel at times, I don't really know what to say in prayer. I'm not sure what I need to be doing. Well, I want you to look at what Paul says in Romans 8:26 on the screen for you. He says something amazing. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Brian Borgman said this, I love it. He said, we don't always know how we should pray. Sometimes all we can get out is a moan, a sigh, or a desperate, oh, Father God. The Spirit actually intercedes for us, taking our inarticulate and even confused cries to God, and He prays for us. It's not only a time for warfare prayer, loved ones, but I believe so much it's a unique time in the life of our church for full dependence in prayer. Dependence on the Holy Spirit in the very act of praying. But for everything else He wants us to do in this life. So praying at all times in the Spirit, it's a beautiful way of praying in total dependence upon the Holy Spirit. But there's another dimension to praying in the Spirit that I want you to see. There's a particular way we can depend on the Holy Spirit in our praying. I want you to see a connection. The Apostle Paul says in verse 17 that we are to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay? And he says in verse 18 that we are to pray at all times in the Spirit. There's a connection being made. There's a connection in the Apostle Paul's mind between wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying in the Spirit. Brian Borgman goes on to say this. He says, we cannot miss the connection between wielding the sword of the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. Listen, One of the most powerful ways to pray in the Spirit is actually to use the words that the Spirit inspired. So when we don't know how to pray, loved ones, the Holy Spirit and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, instructs our hearts and leads us to places in prayer we could never go on our own. That's why we love talking about prayer in this church in terms of Spirit-led and Scripture-fed. That's why you'll see at our prayer meetings, and our next prayer meeting is tonight, and it's going to be no surprise that I'm going to call you to come to this prayer meeting tonight so that we can pray prayers that are Spirit-led and Scripture-fed. This is powerful. On the screen for you is a picture of Jim Cimbala. You know I love him, and I talk about him often because I just love what God has done through the church there in the Brooklyn Tabernacle in Brooklyn, New York. I love hearing the stories of Spirit-led and Scripture-fed prayer and the amazing things that they birth in the life of a church. He described a moment where he was dependent in prayer, and I just want to read it to you. He said, "Over 8 years ago, I was at my end, and I've had many ends, and I've had many infillings of God's peace, but this was a critical moment. Carol, his wife, was away working on a project in Nashville with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and I was at my end, traveling way too much. Didn't have the wisdom of a slug in making my schedule, preaching here, raising money, shortfalls of money, every kind of problem you could imagine. So I went up into this little room on the third floor of the house I lived in then in Queens, a little attic floor, and I put a large print Bible on my lap. I sat in that chair and I told God, 'I'm not leaving until you help me. I'm just running crazy around here, my mind, my heart.'" He asks, "Anyone here ever run out of gas?" So I spent hours with the Lord. I told him at the beginning, "I have nothing to say in prayer yet. I need to get faith." So I slowly read some of the promises of God. Because when you can't pray, you can't pray. Then I got to the place where I began to pour out everything. And oh, sometime in the mid-afternoon, God came. I said to God in that room as I felt whatever was happening to me, what is this? You've helped me so many times before, but what is this? It was so deep. It was so overwhelming. It just settled on me. And I knew God was going to take care of everything. And the problems that seemed so big to me, now they were like little mosquitoes. I couldn't see them. I couldn't find them. That's the type of thing that happens when we take this spiritual battle very seriously. You decide to open the Word of God. And maybe you have a chair that you like to sit in, or a place in your house or apartment or wherever you live that you like to go to. And maybe, loved ones, it's been a long time since you've been there, and your problems seem really, really big to you. Your problems seem so insurmountable to you. But what would happen, loved ones, if we could see what was going on in our lives the way the Apostle Paul wants us to see it? That there's a spiritual battle waged. That if I could take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that if I could understand that this book has power, that I could understand that this book is true, if I could understand that this book is sharper than any two-edged sword and searches my heart and ministers to my circumstance and teaches me how to pray, and if I could get to that chair, if I could get to that room, if I could get to that spot, if I could open up the book, and if I could begin to read the Word of God and the promises of God and begin to pray the Word of God and the promises of God, and receive then in that moment the help of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, then all of a sudden, your problems and my problems would probably feel really small in light of the reality of the awesome, awesome nature of our God. Loved ones, this is a service to gather us together. This is a service to call us all together to say, remember that this church began first meeting 22 people in an apartment on Bloor Street. And this church began in prayer, praying at all times. And that 22 people became 36, and that 36 became 46, and that 46 became 60, and that 60 we rallied around the Word of God, and we rallied around prayer, and we depended on the Spirit of God, and we said, God, if you don't do this, no one can be saved. If you don't do this, the city cannot be reached. If you don't do this, anyone who preaches from this pulpit will never preach with power. We need you. And we launched this church over 6 years ago, rallied together around this. We must be people of prayer. It's time for warfare prayer. It's time to gather together again. Not only a time for warfare prayer, it's time for full dependence in prayer. I was praying, and I was thinking, and I was considering, and in this passage, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Pray in the Spirit, Jason. It's not mystical, it's deeply theological. Pray in the Spirit, meaning, Jason, I want you to understand full dependence. Jason, I've done some things, but you have yet to see all that I will do if you learn to pray in the Spirit in full dependence. Jason, don't depend on a lot of people coming to your church. Don't depend on a good staff team. Don't depend on an amazing group of elders. Don't depend on all the people giving their lives volunteering. Don't depend. Depend on me. This is the time, loved ones, where God has brought Jason to the floor. It's a time for full dependence. It's a time for full dependence in prayer. And oh, how I pray that we would be a church who never, ever forgets what God can do, what God will do through a people who are resolved to remain undistracted and uninhibited in this spiritual battle, praying at all times in the Spirit, depending on the Spirit. Loved ones, that's what we're going to do tonight. Kelly, just put on that graphic of the prayer meeting, please. I just want people to know and get all the information they need. I know, there's some football game happening tonight. I understand. I don't know, Magic Bowl or something like that. What's it called? Super Bowl? I know. But you know, every year, just occurred to me in talking with someone, every year our prayer meeting lands on Super Bowl Sunday. And every year we have a packed house in our prayer meeting. Let's not let that be any different tonight. I'm not trying to judge you if you love football. I know I'm a sports fanatic. I love basketball. But listen, it's a time tonight for warfare prayer. I want to encourage you to be there 7 p.m. at St. James United Church. We're going to worship and we're going to pray about some very specific things, and we're going to rally together again to see all that God will do in our church in 2020. I want you to bow your heads right now. And I want us to consider the things we've talked about. I want you to consider it's an important time for our church. I want you to also consider that it's an important time for you and for me as individual members of this church. It's an important time for us to consider the things that matter most. Before I pray, maybe you're here and you love the Lord. You do, and you hear us talking a lot about prayer in this church, but truth be told, you just don't know how to pray, and you feel discouraged. You feel like it's something that's for those spiritual giants. Well, the place we need to start today is first agreeing with the Scriptures, recognizing that there's a real battle before us. If you're here, you're discouraged, you feel like, I'm not sure what I'll do at that prayer meeting. Listen, there's going to be no pressure. It's a safe place. Nobody makes you do anything you don't want to do. But if you feel discouraged in prayer today, I want you to first just agree with the Scriptures. There's a real battle before us. That's step one. And if you agree with the Scriptures, you'll agree then it's time. It's a time for prayer. Secondly, we need to simply and humbly recognize that left to ourselves, none of us knows what to do in prayer anyways, including me. Loved ones, so dependent on God's Word, so dependent on the Spirit of God. So we need to understand that fundamentally, that even the act of praying in and of itself is an exercise of total dependence. Dependence on the Holy Spirit of God and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So let's just start there. Maybe you've never been to a prayer meeting. Come join us tonight. Because you agree with the Scriptures. And because you understand that all of us together, including this preacher, we're totally dependent on the Lord for even the act of prayer itself. I'm going to pray for us now, and I'm going to trust that God has done His work through His Word. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word and Your truth. I thank You for Your Spirit. I thank You that You are good. I thank You for the gift of prayer. Oh God, we say together, it's always a time for prayer, but today particularly, we feel our need as a church to tighten our grip on this. So God, I pray for this moment right now, this moment of prayer, that people all over this room are agreeing with the Word of God. That people all over this room are putting aside their own insecurities and anxieties, surrendering them to You and saying, Lord, I want to grow in prayer. I want to learn. I want to be led. God, I'm the first one to say I have nothing articulate. I have nothing meaningful in prayer apart from Your Word and Your Spirit. Oh, that You would lead us and that You would lead us tonight. I pray that tonight's prayer meeting would be like none other. And Lord, You know how we've had some glorious times together. Would tonight be so much more than what we would have ever expected or anticipated? Not because of a fancy preacher or good musicians, but because of Jesus Christ. That's why we come to the prayer meeting, for Jesus Christ. That's it. We want more of You. We want You to lead us as a church. Lord, anything that I've said that is not from You, make it fall away from our minds and our ears quickly. But everything that is from Your Word and Your truth, let it take root, I pray, right now. And let us give You glory as this church continues to move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.